This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City. We are excited to be back in our old Sunday night time slot live in the studio. This is John Massengill with Les Kaiser.
Howdy, howdy.
Jonathan Green is in the air. He's in an airplane.
I was going to say, that's not very nice to say.
He's coming back from Pittsburgh, where he was up there calling the Trans Am series. But at the same event, they had the U.S. Formula 4. And
those are the youngsters we've been watching.
Exactly. And the inaugural race for the new U.S. Formula 3. So all of the young Americans and such that are trying to get points for their super license to go to Formula 1, that's where he was this weekend. And in fact, let me run down what we got on the show, because a big part of that is...
Yeah, we have no time to waste.
That's right. We got to get to it, man, because a lot of the show is what Jonathan did up there. In fact, one of the big things, he got an interview with Jay Howard, who is an IndyCar driver who races this year. I think he's going to be just in the 500, obviously.
Right.
And then but he also owns a Formula 4 team. So we did a great interview with Jay. Really exciting stuff, because he's got a long history in racing, of course. And in this Formula 4, like we were saying before, Formula 4, Formula 3 in the United States, where these drivers can look to go to Formula 1. And so, but also, as part of Jay Howard's team, he did an interview with some young and up-and-coming drivers. And one of them, really interesting story, Hannah Zells, female, obviously, Hannah. And she just got started in Formula 4, and you know how we like to follow a different and unusual story. So we did an interview with her that Jonathan sent us, so we're going to play that in a little bit. And also we got the winner of the inaugural Formula 3 race, which is really exciting because, like we're saying, it's the beginning. And Kyle Kirkwood, that name will probably sound familiar if you've been following Formula 4.
Champion.
Yep, he was last year's Formula 4 champion and, of course, wins the inaugural Formula 3 race. So we got a bunch of cool stuff, and we also are hoping to get the winner and current world champion of the FIA World Rallycross, Johan Kristoffersen. So if we get him, we're going to be live towards the end of the show, so we're waiting on a message back to see if we got Johan, but he's obviously the current world champion, amazing rallycross, and obviously we're following that here in Austin because they're going to be here.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah, next month. I was going to say September, but it's right around the corner now. What are we, like?
Be here in no time.
54 days, something like that.
Yeah, going to be great. And if y'all didn't make it to Rallycross last month, you seriously got to go see this group.
All right. And also on the show, there was a little bit of news. I tried to go to the Renault website the other morning.
They were crashing, I noticed.
It was pretty funny. They were completely crashed. They obviously are not hosting with Amazon like Formula One and Speed City.
Oh, there you go.
But anyway, of course, the big news, Daniel Ricciardo dropped the bomb on the entire Formula One and racing world by saying he's not coming back.
Just the week before, he's like, yeah, we're just working out the final details. And he's talking about, you know, the contract with Horner and Red Bull Racing. So, he definitely kind of threw a bait and switch or a fake out to the receiver and threw the other direction or something there.
And we're going to have a long discussion about all of that after this in the next segment. But right now we're going to talk MotoGP because it's back. And it was in the Czech GP was this weekend. And the Ducati boys looked strong, man, with their new aerodynamics. And
you know, with so the Czech Republic race has the one hill they call the horsepower hill. And it is a strong uphill climb. And that really divides up the group. Obviously, Ducati is screaming with horsepower this year. And having those two Ducatis out front, it was really great. The last eight laps or so, things all came to light. Rossi started backsliding a little bit. Marquez was in there trying to keep up. And the Ducatis just hammered their way up that hill, keeping it up, diced back and forth a little bit amongst themselves, but really fantastic last eight laps. If you don't have time for the whole race, go catch that.
Yeah, go get the last part of it for sure. And it's funny that Ducati would win a race with a hill named Horsepower Hill. I mean, you say season, but I mean, that's Ducati's, that's their DNA, that's their heritage to have, if not the most powerful, one of the most powerful bikes on the grid every season after season. And you got to know the boys over here at Ducati Austin are sipping champagne after a double 1-2 by the Ducati boys. And it was a great end to that race, man, with the two Ducatis, with Jorge Lorenzo and Dovi and Marquez swapping it out a little bit. I mean, I know that Dovi pretty much, what did he I think he led everything but what, about two or three laps?
He dominated it. But, you know, the thing that I've got a question, quite honestly, is, Jorge, really, are you sad to be shucking the red and putting on the blue?
Yeah, it's true.
It's, you know, things are coming together. I wonder if there's any option to tear up that contract. Just kidding.
Yeah, I was just joking. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, obviously, when Ducati's doing this well, because in the world championship standing, let's see, I believe it's Marquez still leading because he had obviously had a pretty big Dovi lead. But Dovi moved up to third in the world championship with Marquez 181, Rossi 130, Valentino Rossi 132, and Dovi at 113.
Yep, Dovi is up there, and to me, there's not a lot of reason that Lorenzo couldn't have been ahead of Dovi through this championship.
Yeah.
I think, you know, they're right there. You know, will Lorenzo regret it next year? I think we're going to have to watch to see, but I kind of think that's very possible.
Yeah, but it was fun to watch the Ducatis do so well. And let's talk about those last three laps are when it really got interesting, because what I like to see was how Dovi was riding wide, right? And several times where he was riding wide and he was leaving room for Jorge to pass on the inside and then immediately come right back up on the inside to pass the apex to take back the lead. He did that at least two times that I saw. And I know that he's done that in the past even with Marquez.
Sure, he has. He's got a little different riding line, and you especially see it. I mean, they talk about the competition, your biggest competition's your teammate. Watching Lorenzo and Dovi, how they take what's essentially the same bike and how they handle it and the different lines. And you can see the variety that those two will take on bikes that, you know, are, you know, the only thing that's different are minor tweaks just for personal preference. And so I think that really kind of showed well. And we saw them cat and mouse back and forth a few times, over and under kind of thing. So I just got to say that's a phenomenal race to watch the end of, and sets us up. We're only halfway through the season.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that we're only, it seems like that with at this point, I was looking at the stats and going, wait a minute, how much time do we have? Does anybody have time to catch Marquez? But yeah, of course they do. I mean, I know it's Marquez, and it would have to be some wheels coming off the system over there. But still, we're halfway through, and it was a great race today. Also, I want to talk about how I think it was the last lap, actually, when Lorenzo took away Marquez's knee on turn five to secure second place. Yeah, it stood him up.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it was it dirty? Not really. Was it aggressive? Absolutely. But, you know, that is something that they're just not known for right there. Lorenzo is not known as a power player, a bully on track, or aggressive.
Aggressive, yeah.
And he's shown that he can do it now. And to be honest, I think that's what it's going to take against the likes of Marquez.
Yeah, if there was a knock, that was it, right? And that's exactly what he was proving right there on that last lap.
Yeah, I think that was a great adage there to take in, just because Marquez is a bully when he's behind. He will stick his toe in where there's no room for it. There's, you know, and you've got to be ready, and you've got to have that same level of intensity back. So I love that. Love that.
You know, this was only Dovey's, I was thinking he'd won at least one more, but this is only his second win. His first win was the very first race of the season.
Right, right. We were all excited about that, seeing Ducati bang out of the box right away.
That's true. We kind of hoped that they would be strong all season, and but it's only the second win of this whole season. So what about the Valentino Rossi? I mean, the man, the doctor, the old man.
You know, I obviously I want to see him doing better. I want that 10th championship for him. I want that so bad, and I want to see it come up. But you know, this championship's still alive. Can't strike him out yet.
Yep. Did you see that he reached 6,000 points with this?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. In fact, I believe that he's the only the first. He is. He's the first rider in history to score 6,000 points.
That's just amazing.
That's another notch on his incredible career.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. It's just something else. And imagine. I mean, just think of the technology that he's seen change, go through all of this. You know, what do you think of technology, John? I mean, we've seen it. You've ridden bikes most of your life. Me too. And here we go from bikes on the street that mimic bikes on the track now, genuinely. Whereas before, it was more the bikes on the track were from the street.
Yeah. Well, obviously, that's one of the most exciting things about all motorsports to me personally, is that following the technology. And if you know, just go to any local dealership and the technology.
No, go to Ducati.
Well, yes, our sponsor. Yeah,
don't say that.
But any of these bikes, when you get on them, and all the settings and all the safety side of it, it's really amazing. Actually,
it is. You know, from a safety standpoint, I was out on the new Diablo and playing around, driving a little spirited, and back tire hit a little bit, a little stream of water, you know, that crossed the street. And it was really interesting how it took control of that. I was fine with what was happening, and the tire was going to spin a little bit, but it just pulled the reins back and kept it real easy going. So there's a lot of cool technology. Definitely go check out that Panigale V4 for all the wicked track features that are now available on the street.
Well, it was a great race today. It was fun to watch the end of that race, and good to see Ducati doing well. All right, guys, let's go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, the next topic is going to be the Formula One silly season. We're going to talk about the Daniel Ricciardo bomb that was dropped and all the possible dominoes that can happen because of that. You're listening to Speed City live in Austin, Texas, back after these messages.
Let's jump in my El Camino. Roll the windows down.
Are you craving an adrenaline rush? Well, get your fix at Dirtfish. Get sideways on one of our race-ready Subaru WRX STIs or Subaru BRZs. Learn advanced car control skills on any surface, in any condition. Test your skills on 12 different rally courses across our 315-acre training facility. Get your adrenaline fix by visiting dirtfish.com.
Hey, beer people, it's Christine Sellis.
And I'm Daytona.
Sellis Brewery is back in Austin and brewing again.
Oh, Sellis doesn't ring a bell for some of you?
Well, for the last 17 years, we've been crafting the perfect comeback. We've returned to our roots with Sellis White, a famous local favorite.
Plus, we're creating some fresh new brews.
And whether it's the first time you've tasted our family's legendary beer,
or the millionth,
we're thrilled to be back.
Swing by your local store, watering hole, or our brewery, and let's catch up over beers.
Sellis, Austin's original craft brewery.
MV Agusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Agusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Agusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
Making talk radio great again.
Somebody has to come out and tell it like it is.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
So, Andy Prio driving for Ford Chip Ganassi Racing, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Welcome back to Speed City. So, when we left, I said we're going to talk a little Formula One, but less. I just heard a new sponsor on the during the break.
Oh yeah, one of my favorites. It's Celis Brewing. I mean, this is authentic Belgium style beer.
And they got a long history, don't they? Here in Austin,
they really do. They were honestly one of the first of the breweries that were, you know, fell under the craft style of brewing.
Yeah,
smaller batch things like that. But they're growing big. Personally, one of my favorites, authentic Belgium brewing, dates back to Belgium, quite honestly. Hooven is where Pierre Celis, the founder of it, did. So
Cool.
Look for Celis in your fridge.
Welcome aboard, Celis Brewery. All right, let's talk some Formula One. Daniel Ricciardo, I think I predicted, did I predict this less on one of our previous shows?
I'm just going to say yes, because you're smart that way.
There's no way. I didn't predict it. Nobody that I ever, you know, how many of these silly season predictions heard about, read everything? I looked just to see if anybody had gotten this right, and I didn't see a single story on any motorsport website. There's bound to be somebody who got it right, just odds are. But nobody that I know expected this bomb to drop from Daniel Ricciardo, and that he's going to the Renault team. And I was talking to some local guys, and I'm like, wow, Renault, one of the smaller teams. And they were. I was like, well, yes and no. I said, depends on how you look at this, because, you know, Renault as a company is a huge, giant, worldwide company. And, I mean, if you look at Renault now in comparison to other autosport and automobile companies, they're huge. They had $58 million in sales last year, billion dollars last year. So this is a huge company, right? And you expect them to be able to make a big paycheck to Daniel Ricciardo, which obviously they did. But you also forget about the history of Renault. I mean, these guys, they have a huge history in Formula One, world championships. I mean, the 90s were Williams Renault was incredibly dominant. So it's not like this is out of the blue like some of the people were thinking. And you just don't think of them recently with the success of Ferrari, Red Bull, and Mercedes lately. But it's a huge, huge deal. And the first thing that I thought of when I heard this was, okay, Renault's got something up their sleeve. It was kind of reminded me of I'm certain everybody thought of this too, is how Lewis Hamilton left McLaren, right? You know, he grew up there, and when he left Mercedes, this was before the engine change and going to the Turbo Sixes from the V8s, and Mercedes dropped that bomb on everybody with the incredible turbo design and has dominated ever since. But with the way that the possibility of Renault doing, I'm not saying something, some technological leap like Mercedes was able to do and then dominate ever since, but the commitment has got to be there. Number one, if they're going to write Daniel Ricciardo a big check, because he was obviously the hottest commodity in this available season right now.
Sure.
So they had to have a huge commitment and are ready to spend a lot of money and do what it takes.
I'll say, yeah, they've at least got to pay him the same thing Red Bull was. But to be honest, think about the opportunity that Daniel Ricciardo may see. Hey, I can go be number one driver. I don't have this, you know, little punk coming up on me, Max. that's gaining all this attention that, to me, quite honestly, I see the focus of Red Bull turning more to Max than listening to the veteran driver they have in Daniel Ricciardo. So here's Daniel Ricciardo with an opportunity to go be number one, probably less stress, less scrutiny. Hey, we know you know what to do, and you can help us, you know, further develop this, all of that kind of thing. You know, it's fun to be in a what I'd say is a startup, and I do consider the Renault team a startup at this moment. And so
because of where they are, and
I mean, I see that. I see it as being personally exciting. And hey, if you're going to pay me, and I can smile bigger when I go to work, I'm going.
But you know, there's no race driver is going to go because it's comfortable. I will argue this to the till I die.
It's not because it's easy.
Because if you think about it, Ricciardo's at a team now that has won races this year and has got some of the biggest resources and could easily slip back into fighting for podiums every week in the next year or two, right? Because they are one of those top three teams. But Renault has not been there recently. Now, look, they've looked pretty good this year, and they have looked like best of the rest. But if you're telling me that Daniel Ricciardo is one of the big reasons he went to the Renault team was because he was going to be the number one guy, didn't have to have Verstappen looking over his shoulder, and that to me, that is no water if he's not going to be competing for a championship.
Okay, maybe he was just trying to get away from Honda.
You know, if you think about the Renault, you know, he's kind of been Renault's guy, you know, with the Renault power in the Red Bulls all these years, and now moving to them, he's kind of been their number one guy behind all their that's been driving all their engines. So there's a lot of that too.
Okay, sure. So Daniel's gone, goes by way of Renault, has to learn some French. Who's going to fill that spot, do you think?
Oh, now that is where it all gets interesting.
And here's what I say plays in. Do you bring in somebody that has a great history that Mike can mentor Max? Or do you have somebody that will welcome the opportunity to follow Max?
Are you thinking Fernando Alonso? Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, which side of the coin does he fall on? And knowing that next year, here comes Honda again.
Ooh, yeah. If Alonso, I mean, look, it's got to be tempting for him, right? Because look where it's just been miserable for these last few seasons. Since he came back, came over to McLaren, it's just been miserable, right? So the fact that he could go to a team where he could very well, more than likely, will win a race or two per season at a minimum.
Okay, but think of the budget.
Yeah.
You got that budget there. Who do you think would be a veteran championship winning driver on a cheap budget, best bang for the dollar?
Who are you thinking?
I'm thinking Mr. Hartley. He's fully capable of it. Huh. You know, he's on a lower budget.
I have not heard anybody say that one. I like that.
I mean, yes, folks, Brennan Hartley's a friend of the show many years now, but seriously, if I were shopping, Hartley is competitive. He's a veteran racer.
Yep.
Budget-wise,
won a championship.
He's comfortable on the wallet. Just a likable guy. He doesn't have PR issues. Here's a guy that
mature
can bring in the knowledge.
Mature enough to deal with Verstappen.
Yeah, yeah. He's mature, so he can deal with the young punk when he turns punk-wise. And so, honestly, I could see Hartley going because most of his failures this year have not been him. They've been his equipment.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I've heard Gasly there, probably not Carlos Sainz, although that's been mentioned to Toro Rosso. I mean,
I'm going to say Gasly's better than Sainz to solidify his spot. You know, I mean, to me, it'd be an easy move to pull Hartley up into RB1 team, keep Gasly there. Now, who's going to come into Toro Rosso? If we play down this scenario, who would you bring up?
That is a good question.
Well, I've got your answer.
Okay. You got it all figured out. You got
Lando
it all.
Norris.
Yep. I've heard that rumor actually.
And think about the complexity of that. You've just kept all these guys in that come through the same development program, Red Bull and the junior team. You've got all those that already know the personality of the team. You've got all those that are welcome inside the garage. You know, if they weren't welcomed in the garage with the teams, they wouldn't be there.
Right.
This will be a minimal upset to the apple cart to bring Hartley up, have Lando step in place of Hartley, and run with it.
You know, probably one of the most talked about to go to Toro Rosso has been Ticktum, Daniel Ticktum. Remember, we had him on the show.
Yep.
And he's done, obviously, great on the European, won the European Formula 3 and the championship. And he's been talked about going to Toro Rosso, too.
I think it's fine for a development driver.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to get first seat in one of the cars.
Yep. It's true. But, you know, look at Gasly. You just don't know how this is going to play out.
True. But, you know, I just got to say that that's my thoughts on the way the cards could fall. And keep everything Red Bull, keep everything promoting from within, which Red Bull does like to do.
Well, the one thing that is for sure, that none of us know anything about what's going to happen.
I thought we were back to Verschuer.
Yeah, no, Richard Verschuer, no. Because with Daniel dropping this bomb, it throws everything off, and we have no idea what's going to happen here. I mean, one of the things that's worried me is that the Haas team, right? If you'd said this a year ago, you'd have said crazy that Grosjean was doing so well. But Grosjean's had such a really pretty miserable season.
Yeah.
Could he end up with no chair to sit in at the end of the season?
It could very well. Could very well. You know, as much as we've had him on and he's a nice guy and everything, I'm not sure how other teams view him. Yes, he's performed wonderfully before. But he's also done
some really bad stuff before, too.
Sure, sure. I don't know. I don't think we'll see Grosjean go to Red Bull. How's that?
Yeah, I think you're probably right on that. What about Leclerc?
Sun will come up tomorrow, too.
What about, yeah.
Put the money on it.
What about Leclerc to Haas in place of Grosjean?
Ooh. I don't know that they'd want to go with two such young drivers.
Yeah, that would be, if you look at everything that Gene Haas and Gunther Steiner have said, that is, now, all of those things they said about wanting mature drivers, develop the car, develop everything, develop the program, develop the team, all of that was said 3 years ago now. So you never know. Would they pass up the chance for the hottest driver, and would he even go there? You know, so that's just, I heard that rumor as well.
Okay, talking Haas. Sergio Perez to come in.
Yeah, I've heard that one
Sergio
multiple
Perez,
times. We talked about it last week, actually.
Exactly. I really think Sergio Perez is an excellent candidate for Haas. The American market and the Mexican market are very closely related in Formula One and so many of the car racing. I think we could see him as being on the home team.
Yeah, it's
and
true.
I think that would be easy to adopt. From a publicity standpoint, from a teamwork standpoint, but he's got talent. I mean, my gosh, we heard it 5 years ago when he was with us that he's very mature. He's level-headed. You don't hear him spouting off much as you do often with others. And he brings money to the table.
Ah, money. The grease that greases the skids.
That makes the skids go away.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's going to be interesting, man. This is fun to see when Ricardo did this.
Yeah. Great 52-card pickup game going on. So we'll see where they go.
All right, guys. Well, let's go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have really exciting interviews because Jonathan was up in Pittsburgh up there with the Formula 3, Formula 4, and Trans Am, all those races going on at the same time. And we got some great interviews, including some of the young drivers in Formula 3 and Formula 4. And also Jay Howard. He is a Formula 4 team owner and an IndyCar driver. So stick with us at Speed City Live in Austin, back after these messages.
Your The Austin East KOA Campground, just 15 minutes from Circuit of the Americas and downtown Austin, and just 2 minutes from the Travis County Expo Center and Central Texas Fishing at Decker Lake. Featuring amenities for every style of camping, from tent sites to luxury RV pull-throughs and cabins, plus a pool, showers, and laundry. Nestled in tall oak trees on the edge of the hill country, all the pleasures of the Lone Star State await you at Austin East KOA. To make your reservation, visit AustinEastKOA.com.
Have you ever wanted to be a race car driver? Well, you can at Dirtfish. Handle an all-wheel drive Subaru WRX STI or rear-wheel drive Subaru BRZ rally car at our 350-acre training facility. Learn how to control a car in any situation, on any surface, in any condition. Go fast, get sideways. Get your adrenaline fix by visiting dirtfish.com.
Talk 1370.
Hello, I'm Felipe Massa, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to Speed City. We went to the break. We were talking about the interviews that we've got out of Pittsburgh. What's the name of that racetrack? I have forgotten the name of it, but it's it was the host this weekend to Trans Am Formula 4 and the brand new inaugural Formula 3. And, you know, the most interesting thing about all this is that the way that the FIA and Formula 1 are all structuring all of these new series around the globe, actually. They call them regional Formula 3, regional Formula 4. And so the United States has its Formula 4 series, which started last year. Or was it the year before? So you got Formula 4. And then now this new ladder, Formula 3, which the way the cars are structured is they're powered by the Honda Civic engine, the same exact engine.
Right.
The Formula 4 without the turbo, the Formula 3 with the turbo. So it goes from like 200 horsepower to like 275 horsepower. Steps up there's a little more aero in the Formula 3. In fact, a pretty significant amount of aero. So it becomes a car that if you're driving a Formula 3 car, you're actually now stepping up into an area where you're driving a car that'll prep you for either IndyCar or, in this case, what they're trying to do is go to Formula 1 or Formula 2.
It's basically the ladder system, you know, for this series. And I think that's great. You know, the budgets that, you know, we've talked about going with those are much more reasonable for a developmental opportunity. And they'll build up reliable at that. And so, it's very cool. We'll see those coming around. We'll keep on chasing these guys.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and go to this interview. And this is an interview that Jonathan did up in Pittsburgh earlier today with Formula 4 team owner and Indy 500 driver Jay Howard. Let's hear that.
Okay, Speed City fans, I am delighted. I'm here in Pittsburgh, and I knew there'd be some familiar faces around, and I've just come across an IndyCar driver. Not only an IndyCar driver, but also Jay Howard running his own motorsports driver development program here in Formula 4. Jay, we talked about this at the Indy 500 and how excited you are to be part of this. Here we are in the reality, and you've got a bunch of cars out there. You look to be really taken to this.
Yeah, I love it. This is something that I really, really enjoy. It's a very different look on things, you know, from a race weekend. I am way more nervous as a owner, you know, coaching and trying to mentor these kids. It's tough because maybe it's like a control thing, you know, mm-hmm. because for me, racing, growing up, all the years that I did it and still do it, it's just business as normal, helmet on, you go out, you go do your thing, and you're in control, so to speak. You turn these kids loose, you give them all the advice you can, and you just hope that they, you know, can execute. So,
and I suppose it's frustrating because you can see them making the mistakes that you probably made when you were younger,
yeah.
And you can try to rectify it, but you got to let them do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, they have to learn for themselves, and we try and help them. And the nice thing nowadays with the cameras and all the data and all that, I like to call them the lie detectors.
Yeah.
They can't get away with anything, so it's really good.
Tell me about the program, because this is something that I know is warm to your heart, but also it's becoming a major, you know, I mean, we're looking at the tent right now, and you've got, what, four or five drivers out there?
Yeah, five cars this weekend. The official test, we had six cars. Yeah, I mean, like I say, this series is really good for the guys and girls coming out of karting. And even if they have very little karting experience, they just want to get into cars, this is a perfect place to go. Yeah, I've driven this Formula 4 car. It's got a really nice balance to it. Doesn't do anything violent, you know. And it's got enough data, enough sensors on it for us to really educate them and get them working on the techniques that they need to learn, which they will, you know, the stuff we're teaching the kids at this level is the exact same things I would work on in IndyCar. So it's, you know, the exact same stuff. We love it. I'm really passionate about it. I love seeing the kids progress on. And, you know, one of the cool things about the Indy 500 this year was Spencer Pigot was a longtime driver of mine, and just really cool to be racing against him.
Yeah,
you know?
Very cool.
So, love seeing these kids go on and have careers of their own.
I'm also excited because, as a Brit, you know, getting super license or potential super license points to FIA championship, and that's something that America's waking up to now, is that it's a great option to have Indy, which is in-house, if you like, it's in America, but also to have the opportunity, and you've got a Danish driver here. It's another opportunity for these guys to work towards either working on the other side of the pond in Europe or staying here in Indy.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I think, yeah, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, it gives these kids an opportunity. You know, I think once you start going down the road to Indy, for example, you start with Pro Mazda and stuff, you're almost at that point where you've made the commitment, I'm going to IndyCar, that's the focus, that's the intention. Formula 4, you're at the point, it's the entry. You know, if you have ambitions of going to Europe, you can start here, get your points, get your license, start doing all that good stuff, dip your toes and go, yeah, this is definitely for us, we're all in, now go to Europe and go from there. Or actually, I want to stay here, this is, you know, IndyCar or NASCAR or sports car or whatever, that's my place to be. So it is a very good and very leave your options open series, and just really good, really good place for kids to start.
Finally, Jake, give me a name. We're always looking for the next American hero to come in, like a Spencer Pigot, like an Alex Rossi, like a Jay Howard, and go up the ranks and be there on the 500 grid. But also, we're also looking for the next American in Formula One, and I'm always kind of keen when I see F3 and F4 together to see where the talent is. Have you spotted somebody that you think that kid's going in somewhere?
Yes. In terms of American drivers, it's a tough one. Kyle Kirkwood's very good.
Yes.
Coached him for a few years. He's very good and doing a good job right now. So if he keeps things going the way they're going right now, yeah, things are looking good for him. I'm a little biased towards some of the drivers I have right now, which a couple of them are not American. Danish kid, Christian Rasmussen and Teddy Wilson, both doing a really, really good job. So, yeah, there's definitely the bar has been raised in the US. It continues to get harder and harder every year. I work harder and harder every day, knowing that we kind of got a target on our back, so to speak. You know, you win a race and definitely can't get complacent, just keep working hard, and I think that goes the same for all the drivers. You know, they just know the level has got better, and it's going to continue to do so.
All right, well, listen, great to talk to you. Thank you. Best of luck. I hope you're not too worried on the sidelines there, because like you say, you don't have that same thing. When you're in control, it's easy. When you're watching it, it's harder.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'll be enjoying it, that's for sure.
Thanks for talking to us, Jay Howard.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's obviously Jay Howard and involved in the F4 like that. It's great, and being obviously an IndyCar driver as well. But yeah, I mean, the way he is supporting this F4 series with the team, I think it's great, man.
Oh yeah, and you know, I think it is. I mean, they recognize that, you know, it's this series could support somebody wanting to go Formula One. They could support him wanting to go IndyCar. It's just a great series that's going to develop them as drivers, competitors, even businessmen and drivers in the sport. So that's not an issue. This is a great thing.
All right. Well, we got another interview I want to play because, like we mentioned before, the F3 Americas Championship kicked off this weekend, and it kicked off with a familiar name winning the first race, and that is Kyle Kirkwood. And so let's go ahead and play this interview that Jonathan did with Kyle Kirkwood.
Okay, Speed City fans, we, as always, are trying to break new ground, and we are broken new ground because we are at the inaugural F3 of America's Championship, powered by Honda, race here in Pittsburgh. And somewhat appropriately, the man who should win the race is right here, Kyle Kirkwood, who has obviously been waiting for this August venue to come around and this race to come around. It's been a long time coming, but relieved that you were able to win the first ever race here.
Definitely. You know, we only got the car on Sunday of last week, and we haven't been able to do a whole lot for setup, and I think the team, Able Motorsports, and I were able to put a very good car or baseline car together for this weekend, and we got the aero balance right. The car feels very well balanced, and we have a very fast race car, and overall the car has been great. It hasn't really shown any issues. It's very sensitive to changes, which is great, and there's not many downsides to it, I have to say.
You've been racing outside of this because there's been nowhere to race because you've already run the F4 Championship. Not much point in doing that again. So you've been doing Road to Indy stuff. How's that going? How's it gone? How different is that?
Well, it's much different. It's obviously ran with IndyCar, and so it's a much higher class that you're involved with. And the racing is actually very similar to as it is here in F4. You have a lot of overseas drivers, a lot of drivers who have a lot of talent and veterans in that series. The car is similar to an F4 car. It's a couple seconds quicker, so I think it's a good transition from that into the F3 car, if that's too big for you, I guess you could say. But no, that was kind of what I've done for the whole beginning of the season, and we were able to win that championship just this last weekend, actually. Mm-hmm. So four races before the end of the season, we were able to win the championship. We have 10 out of 12 wins in that, and there's only two more races left. So we were able to finish that off on a strong note and come down over here in the F3 car and start it off on a good note. So it's our season's been a whirlwind of good news, I guess you could say. And we're just going to keep our head down, keep digging, and keep the same momentum that we have.
Shortened year for the first inaugural F3 championship, but will you do the whole season now and try and win the first year?
Yeah, you think so? I think so, but it's come down to a bit of budget for me, and as it is for many professional drivers. So we're just going to figure it out as it goes, and hopefully I will be able to do the whole championship, yes.
More importantly, will you be at the F1 race? Will you be racing, and will you be coming to see us in the commentary booth?
That is something that I always dream of, so that's somewhere I really want to be. And that, I mean, announcing the F1 race with you was amazing last year, so to be able to do it again would be crazy. I mean, I remember you were like, we just did one of the commercial breaks, and then you're like, well, I don't have my partner with me for the end of the race, and you're like, do you want to come jump in with me? I'm like, I've never done anything that big. So it was really cool, and I really thank you guys for that, for putting me in that position. And no, I really hope I can come back and do that same exact thing again.
Well, you just keep concentrating on the racing. There's plenty of time to commentate. We'll be watching you, and congratulations on winning the inaugural F3 of America's Championship.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, him commentating with us in the Formula One booth last year at COTA, he was actually really, really good. He was great because that was when the controversial move by Verstappen, you know, where he cut the corner.
Extending the limits,
right. And Kirkwood called it. It was great. It was actually really, really good.
Yeah, Kyle's, you know, very perceptive in that. Obviously, he's got to be, but he can also put himself mentally in that spot. Would he cut to the inside?
Yeah.
You know.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and take our last break of the show. And when we come back, we got a World Rallycross driver. Steve Arpin is going to join us live. Really excited to talk to him because we got some rallycross that's coming to Austin very soon. You listen to Speed City Live back after these messages.
Beer people, it's Christine Sellis.
And I'm Daytona.
Sellis Brewery is back in Austin and brewing again.
Oh, Sellis doesn't ring a bell for some of you?
Well, for the last 17 years, we've been crafting the perfect comeback. We've returned to our roots with Sellis White, a famous local favorite.
Plus, we're creating some fresh new brews.
And whether it's the first time you've tasted our family's legendary beer,
or the millionth,
we're thrilled to be back.
Swing by your local store, watering hole, or our brewery, and let's catch up over beers.
Sellis, Austin's original craft brewery.
Envy Agusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only Envy Agusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by Envy Agusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 Envy Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of Envy Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
Your next chance at $1,000 with a big cash bribe is tomorrow at 7:03 on Talk 1370.
Hey, this is Red Rocker Sammy Hagar. You are listening to Speed City. Woo!
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Thank you, Sammy Hagar, for bringing us back after the break.
Oh, yeah.
The Red Rocker, when he came to Austin to drive his Ferrari on Circuit of the Americas.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. He said he wants to come back.
He does want to. Of course he wants to. Come hang out with us.
Duh.
Hey, speaking of Circuit of the Americas, we've got a gentleman on the phone who is going to be joining us here at Circuit of the Americas.
He's already been here.
He's been here, but he's coming back next month. Welcome back to the show, Steve Arpin. We appreciate you coming on.
I'm kind of excited about driving that Ferrari you guys are talking about with Sammy Hagar coming out. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Well, Steve, I don't know if we can get Sammy back, but we might can get a Ferrari back, but I don't advise it on the rallycross track.
Yeah.
I guarantee you we can get it in the air. I promise you that.
All right.
Hey,
dang
Steve.
It. I hope Ferrari's not listening right now.
Yeah, we got that from the local Ferrari dealer. I don't think it'd go for that. Well, Steve, give everybody a little bit of background about yourself, because obviously we're really excited about you guys coming back to Austin, but talk about your history and racing and everything.
Absolutely. I'm the luckiest guy on earth. I'm a young guy that was always a race fan, raced as a hobby with my family growing up, and was fortunate enough to kind of turn into an opportunity of the career. So been racing dirt cars all over the country growing up. Then I got the opportunity to go do the NASCAR thing for a while. Actually won my first race at Texas Motor Speedway over in Fort Worth. So
that's
pretty cool.
Nice.
And ran with Dale Earnhardt Jr. and teammates with Danica and all that. Then back in 2013, got the opportunity to get on a plane and go over to Brazil and race in the X Games. And ever since then, I found a new home doing this rallycross stuff. It is so much fun. It's so cool. And to be able to get back to Circuit of the Americas with the new ARX series. We just finished up our event up here in Canada. And my God,
We lost you just a little bit. You said up in Canada, y'all had, how did you do up there?
Well, it didn't go quite as planned. We ended up making the final, so that was good. But we got a brand new car this year. Ken Block and I teamed up, and we took the Ford Focus RSRX, and we're trying to redevelop the suspension and really get this thing tuned in. And we didn't really have much luck in Texas when we were there the first time over at COTA. We were breaking rear suspension. So this is pretty much our first race on it. Ken was up in third on the podium, and we ended up sixth. So we're both in the final, and we're gonna regroup, and we're coming back to our vengeance. So we're gonna kick these bugs' butts. They're winning too much right now.
So folks, you know, we've been introducing you to rallycross and some of the folks around it. Steve is a great guy to meet, but you've heard us just mention Ken Block. It is that Ken Block. And, you know, that one. Yeah, that's the one. You want to come in. It's a great series. But tell us a little bit more about your team and what plan changes you have going on to come back and finish up a little better.
Absolutely. So we got an awesome team going on. We've been running for about 3-4 years now together. We're partnered up with Chip Ganassi for the first couple of years. And then we went off on our own with Lone Bro Motorsports. So awesome. Awesome group of people. That's the best part about our program. And it was we ran strong enough over the last couple of years to attract the likes of Ken Block and Ford and partnered up with them this year to take over this project with the Focuses. So, but yeah, coming back to Austin, we're going to do a lot of testing. We have a little bit of a break now, and we're going to have the suspension dialed in. We're going to be quick when we come back there. And it's going to be such an exciting event. We got Ludacris coming to play. It's going to be wild. Every single ticket that everyone buys is an open paddock. Ken and I were sitting there today at our trailer, and we sat out in front of our trailer for hours signing autographs. Everyone was taking pictures and everything. So every single person that gets in gets the same amount of access, gets to walk right up to us drivers. I bet you I had 20, 25 kids sitting in my car after the races while we were trying to load it in the trailer. It was pretty cool.
That is awesome. We'll talk about the new American Rallycross series, because the way things shook up a little bit in the last year, I mean, it's really exciting to have a new series here and a little bit of a shortened season this year, but then a full season next year, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it was definitely a big change in the off season. There's some excitement for sure, to say the least, but for IMG to step up and create the ARX America's Rallycross to run alongside and in conjunction with the WRX is an awesome opportunity for the sport as a whole, on a global impact, in my opinion. And it's a young market here in the States right now, but this series, it just takes all the best parts of so many different disciplines and combines them into just an exciting, fast-paced, action-packed event. IMG, that's the promoting company that owns the series. They own UFC. They're big time into Formula Drift, so they know how to put on an event. Obviously, they're running the World Rallycross that's going to be coming back to Austin when we're there at COTA in September. But it's such a cool format. We got short little high intensity bursts. These cars are 0-60 in 1.6 seconds. But 1.8 seconds is exaggerated there. But I bet you I would beat Sammy Hagar's Ferrari off the line. I promise you I would beat his Ferrari off the line. It's dirt corners, asphalt corners. We have jumps where it's a contact sport. These things are, we line up in a straight line, five wide across, just like dirt bikes do, and barreled off into the first corner. It is just pure. We don't have time to like cruise around or anything like that, because it's only 5-6 lap races, and it's just pure intensity all the time. Like, my heart is just pounding out of my chest. I'm sitting there waiting for those lights to go green.
Well, it is, the entertainment factor is through the roof. It's funny, you talk about Formula Drift. It reminds me of that as well, because it's short, it's intense, and really you don't have to know. There's not a bunch to learn about the sport. You just go out and look at this and go, that is freaking cool to watch.
You know, I think it was completely summed up: door slamming, dirt slinging, airborne excitement. You got anything better than that, Steve?
When I was a little kid, I played with my little toy cars on my car mat, right? And I'm sliding them and jumping them and smashing and banging with the guys next to me. That's literally what I'm doing in real life for a job now. That's exactly what these cars are. It's intense. Like you said, it's like Formula Drift. It's just excitement. It's fast-paced. Everything's going on all the time. We do that, except contact is promoted. I would like to say it's organized chaos, but once that green flag goes, it's just pure and utter chaos.
Hey, so let's talk about the cars. You talked about 0-60 and 1.8. I've heard everything 1.8, 1.9, faster than in virtually anything. But what about the cars? Like 600 horsepower. How close to production do they start with? The production car, then gut it and roll cages, or how do they work?
Absolutely. So everything's based off the factory unibody, and we just kind of build up from there. Obviously, the speeds are reaching everything. We've got a full homologated roll cage in these things. But from that point forward, these things are such sophisticated little pieces of equipment. From a body standpoint, the entire body is carbon fiber, some parts with the Kevlar mix, except for the roof and our driver's door for a safety factor. The engines are the turbos and these things. We're running 45, 50 pounds of boosters and things.
Wow.
We've got a full anti-light system. Our turbos are spinning full song at about 155,000 RPM all the time. So we go from the starting line, we got full turbo, full boost from the moment we let go of that clutch. And every corner we come out of, we have zero lag ever. They're all-wheel drive. We can get these things absolutely dead sideways and drive away out of it. You're going to see tire smoke going. The excitement, it's sequential gearboxes, so you're wide open, grabbing gears, going through the gears. It's pretty intense. I've like I said, I've had black experience a lot of things. I grew up in Canada, raced snowmobiles and everything growing up, dirt cars all across the country, modified late model sprint cars, did the NASCAR stuff, did all of Dale Jr.'s cup testing for a long time, got to drive all sorts of stuff. And there is nothing that even remotely comes close to the thrill that you get sitting behind the wheel, sitting in the seat of one of these race cars.
So everything between the flywheel and the tires is the most important part of a rally car, because you got to make the clutch work. You got to make the diff hold up. I'm thinking, okay, these cars, they got, what do they weigh, about 2,000 pounds, I figure, maybe give or take a little bit. But if you can go 0 to 60 in 1 point anything, you got to put all that 600 horsepower to the ground between with all the components not snapping in half.
It's remarkable the amount of, I had a whole group of sponsor guests with us today. We were walking through the trailer show in the room, and my engine tuner is in there, and he's working on his laptop. And the amount of stuff that's going on through the ignition system and everything in these cars to make them perform the way they do, one of the reasons why our races are so short is they're pushing these things to such an extreme level that, like, these cars, they build so much heat because we're trying to get so much out of them that we just can't go long distances because it will burn the things up.
Yeah, it's really exciting to watch. Well, Steve Arpin, we really appreciate you coming on the show, and we want to point people to the website, so worldrxusa.com.
Oh, man, come on out.
You can also go to circuittheamericas.com. Of course, the concert Ludacris is going to be out there. What is it, September 29th and 30th? We really appreciate you coming on, Steve, and excited to talk to you, and, of course, we'll look forward to seeing you here in Austin.
Hey, I appreciate you guys. And once again, this type of racing is unlike anything else that I've ever done. Like, every single ticket, it's open paddock, come right up, walk right up to our cars, walk right up to all your favorite drivers. Some of the biggest names in the country are going to be there. Some of the biggest names in rallycross worldwide are going to be there. You get to walk right up to them. You'll be walking through the pits. They'll be next to you. It's an experience of a lifetime. You absolutely have to check it out.
All right, Steve. Thanks a lot. Appreciate you coming on the show. We'll talk to you when you get to Austin.
Travel safe, buddy.
All right. Well,
he's right. The likes of Travis Pastrana.
Yeah, man. Some big names in this sport.
You know, Travis Pastrana, I was talking to him. It was 3 days after he did those big jumps in Vegas, and he was still hyped on that, too.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Well, we want to apologize to Hannah Zells. We didn't get to play her interview, but we're going to put it out on our SoundCloud account. Really cool story. Young female in the Formula Series racing in the American Formula 4 Series. Really excited to talk to her. There's been some other females in Formula 3, man. We didn't get to talk about it, but there's some really interesting stuff, some women racing, and I wanted to... I'm sorry we didn't get that on, but check us out on our website, speedcitybroadcast.com, and look for the links to SoundCloud and all of our other assets. And, of course, look for us every Formula 1 weekend. We do a pre- and post-race show live, so check that out on our website, speedcitybroadcast.com. We will talk to you next week.
Travel safe, y'all.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.